to the families of the fallen, both here and at home, no words will ease your pain, but I beg you, let it have meaning. Unite your sorrow to their awesome purpose. People do grace places, but people also grace people. We are blessed by our time with those now asleep, the mighty and the gentle.
General James Mattis at Arlington Cemetery, he peppered his comments that were very solemn with historical references going back thousands of years to the great warriors in Rome, and it was incredible. And he's a real student of history, and also has seen battle, so he knows just how difficult it is to say goodbye to a loved one. We have a lot going on here on the Laura Ingraham Show. We'll keep you up to date on everything. We're going to, in just one moment, get to Pete Hoekstra, who used to be the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. As everybody's getting ready for the testimony of Jimbo Comey. So we'll get to him in just a moment. I got to say, the obsession with this Russia story is a Beltway obsession. It's a New York obsession. The same people who oppose Trump's agenda during the campaign, for the most part, are the same people who think, oh, this is really what we're going to be able to use now to stop the agenda. It's not about, you have to understand, it's not about Russia. Not about Russia. This is about getting Trump out. They want him out of office. They want to stop conservative populism now. They want to stop it in its tracks. It's a threat to them. It's a threat to their global order. And they know, here's the thing is, they know if Trump gets his tax reform through, they know it's 2018 is a Republican midterm. I don't care what they say. They get tax reform through, they get some meaningful repeal and replace of Obamacare through, which is what the Republicans should be doing 24/7. They get it through, they're going to sail through 2018, Democrats are just in a hole. They've got to stop the Trump agenda. How do they stop the Trump agenda? Getting everybody focused here on this shiny object, Russia, 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 Russia. Meanwhile, of course, Obama was doing all his back channel stuff all the time. No one worried about that back then. It's only, oh, Jared Kushner's, who cares? Ridiculous. Nancy in Iowa, very quickly before we get to Pete. Nancy was sitting with her 85-year-old mother over Memorial Day weekend. And put Nancy on, please. Nancy, go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to share, I went in to visit my mom, who lives in the Chicagoland area, 85 years old. She said, you know what, I'm just sick and tired of the media and all the other people in Washington. She said, you know what, the only person who I believe is Trump. And I thought, wow, there you go, world.
That's interesting. The wisdom of the old. Well, they've seen it all. They've lived it. And they have good... you know what, detectors. And they've seen it at the end of their lives, and they're seeing the world as it is. Excellent story. I appreciate that, Nancy. Pete Hoekstra is with us now, former Michigan congressman, and as I said, chair of the House Intelligence Committee. He joins us now. Pete, great to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Great to be with you, Laura.
So the obsession with Russia continues as the president, in my mind, had a phenomenal trip. It was unlike anything I've ever seen before. And he basically told the Europeans, look, we love you. We love NATO. NATO's so important to us and your defense. But American taxpayers can't keep carrying the load here. I thought that was about time someone said that to fat cat Germans who have a $64 billion trade deficit surplus with the United States.
Yes. And, Angela Merkel, being upset on Sunday and over the weekend and on Monday, it's kind of like...
It's great news.
That's okay.
Well, it's great news.
He went to the Middle East and he reached out to the Saudis and, talked to the 50 Muslims head of states and said, we need your help and you need to lead the fight against ISIS and to change this radical ideology and reform your religion. And then he went to Europe and held Europe accountable and, and basically said, he didn't say we're not there. He just said... We're going to be here, but we need partners. And partners means that you have to carry your fair share of the cost. We are not going to carry all the costs. And that's great to say, and for Europe and for Merkel actually to come back and say, hey, Europe, it's our responsibility. It's like, and it hasn't
Hallelujah.
Been for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this a new revelation?
I mean,
and Americans should welcome this. We want
well,
a
they
strong
do.
Europe. We want a strong Europe. We want a strong Europe that spends on defense, that helps us defeat ISIS, that confronts Russia and does all of these things. It's like, hallelujah, Europe step up.
Right, Pete, remember in the 80s, the absolute over-the-top, way overboard criticism by the elites in Europe of Reagan's approach to a number of issues. There were these protests that went on and on about the missile defense in Europe. There were, Craig Shirley reminding us last week, there were 10 days of protests where you had a million people in the streets of Germany. And I think it was 1983, I believe. So this is nothing new for the elites in Europe to be bashing the United States, a strong United States president standing up for the American people. In Reagan's day, we had to take on the Soviets. We had to take on the Soviets because if we didn't, we'd lose America. So that was his version of conservative populism back then. It was a strong defense, robust economy. The American home front had to be secure. And now Trump says, look, we're $20 trillion in the hole. Can't do it.
Right. And
can't do it anymore.
You know, you've got the Europeans worried about, well, you know, he didn't sign on to the Paris Accord.
He's not going to.
Like, well, wait a minute. Hey, guys, you should have known this. You signed a deal with Obama. Obama didn't have support for this agreement. If he would have had support for this agreement, Republicans and Democrats would have all thought
it's not a treaty.
You know, that this was good for our economy, good for American workers, good for all of those things. He would have taken it to the U.S. Senate. He would have gotten 51 votes to pass it as a treaty, and America would have been bound by the treaty. But he knew that he could not get 51 votes. So, hey, Angela Merkel, if you want to sign a deal with a president that has a year left in his administration, that's
idiotic.
Fine. But for you to believe that we're going to have an election and that elections don't have
it's going to be nullified. Yeah.
Naive. Yeah, it was nullified. And
no.
So
Trump's not going to agree to that. That's over.
And then, then your fascination, you know, the media's fascination. They spent 4 days trashing Kushner for something that the Russians. That we know that the Russians meddle in elections. Guess what, folks? America meddles in elections. We do it through our intelligence community. It's fascinating stuff. But, you know, Kushner doing a back channel. Hallelujah. I would expect that the Trump administration would be talking to the Chinese, to the Russians, to all of these people as they get prepared to govern.
What do you think is going to happen with this? What do you think is going to happen with this Comey testimony? This is next week, I guess, in Capitol Hill. It's going to be an open session. He's an interesting cat. Comey is. I mean, he seems to like the drama. You know, there's drama queens out there. He seems to be a bit of a drama queen to me. I don't like men who are all, to me, he's a little bit of a drama queen. I don't mean to be mean here, but I don't know. I'm not wild about him.
Comey's a very smart guy. He knows lots of secrets. Exactly what he's going to expose, you know, no one knows at this point. I'll tell you, I even get confused. And I spent 10 years on the Intelligence Committee and trying to figure out what Comey was doing back in July when he knew that there was, or supposedly he was acting on Russian intelligence, you know, information that we had gotten through our intelligence community on Russia. And then that we knew that it was fake. And so he acted on fake intelligence. And it's like, it's amazing. And then it's amazing that this stuff actually comes out in the public. And I think this is why your earlier caller said, and I get the same thing here in Michigan. I walk around town and I talk to people and people just kind of shake their heads and say, Pete, what's going on in Washington? You know, we don't care about this Russia thing. Isn't this what countries normally do? Isn't this why they have intelligence agencies? Isn't this why we have the CIA to try to shape public opinion and events in other countries? And it's kind of like, well, yeah, that is what we do, and that's what they do. And what they're concerned about is they're concerned about jobs, they're concerned about taxes. And right now, I don't see a lot of people moving away from Trump. I think they look at it and say, this guy's actually trying to change Washington, and this is the elites in Washington, and like you said, New York, the media elites trying to trash this guy, and we elected him
out.
And we want him to.
Yeah, they want him out.
We want him to do the agenda.
It's not just about stopping Obamacare or tax reform. They want him. They want to drive him out of office. And I don't think he realized that when he came into office. I think he thought it was going to be a tough legislative fight, maybe. But I don't think he realized, as tough as that campaign was, that was only the first step, winning the campaign. That was the first step. And then he has to actually do the stuff. Very difficult.
Right.
Very difficult. And when they're writing articles about your impeachment the day after you're elected, this is what it's about. They want him out.
And if you take a look at the storyline development over the weekend, it was Trump, Kushner, and now they're also starting to go after Pence. They're not satisfied with Trump.
No, no. Then they'll have Paul Ryan as president. Then Paul Ryan, number three, will be in there. That's good.
They want to go after them all. And, you know, they want to totally
distract
them on their agenda.
Yep.
And until they get them out.
And don't you think, this is where the administration really does have to have a top-notch communications team, a communications strategy, and a laser beam focus on the economy with somebody in the White House calling up these congressmen and saying, look, we need you out there pushing this tax reform. We're doing this event this week in Iowa, and we need you to hit this on whatever, this television show. Then you're going to get your friend, the senator. He's going to go out and he's going to hit Schumer on this. You know, there has to be a coordinated response on all this stuff to advance the agenda. That's what has to happen.
There's one thing that I am surprised about that I haven't seen. I thought that Trump would call Congress in and not let them go on vacation and call them out when they did. The House was out of session a couple of weeks ago, and it's kind of like, we never had a week off in May. Why are they not there 4 or 5 days a week until they get tax reform done? And just pound it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that when they get to August, if tax reform is not done, that the president just calls them out and says, you need to stay in town. This needs to happen. This needs to get done.
We have a soundbite for you. This is John McCain, who is talking about threats to the United States. Let's listen.
I know that some administration officials are saying, well, that's standard procedure. I don't think it's standard procedure prior to the inauguration of a president of the United States by someone who is not in an appointed position.
He went on to say, this was the soundbite I wanted, that Putin is a bigger threat to the United States than ISIS. I wasn't talking about the Jared Kushner thing, but nevertheless, Putin is a bigger threat to the United States than ISIS. Really?
I think long-term Russia will be a significant threat. The most immediate threat is radical Islam. You take a look at what's happening in Northern Africa, what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in the Philippines, Indonesia, and what's happening in Europe. And right now, the threat is radical Islam. The scary thing is all of these threats in the last 8 years have gotten worse. Russia, North Korea, ISIS, radical Islam, you could call any one of these a significant threat or the greatest threat.
Let me just say this, Pete. As someone who's been to Russia many, many times, I mean, these are nationalists. Yeah, they got some of their old motherland syndrome playing out here with Ukraine. I get all that. But they have a massive problem themselves with Islam. In the old stands, in Kyrgyzstan, in Turkmenistan, they have the Chechenian rebel problem. Putin also understands the threat of Islamic radicalism, what it's done to his own country, what it's done to their own vision of the world. So the enemy of my enemy sometimes is going to be my friend. And so in some issues, the United States should be cooperating in a way that's good for us, if it is good for us, with Russia. And like McCain will never, ever, ever, ever want a better relationship with Russia. I mean, any better relationship with Russia is a bad thing for John McCain. I'm sorry. That's just ridiculous.
When we walked out of and backed out of the Middle East, we created a huge vacuum. Russia is now active in
Syria.
Kurdistan, the northern part of Iraq. Yep. They're obviously dominant in Syria. They're playing a bigger role in Egypt and Libya. And so in all of those crucial spots, if we want to be successful, we are going to have some kind of relationship with Putin and the Russians.
It's great to have you on, Pete, as always. Pete Hoekstra.
Always good to be with you. Thank you.
Great to have you on. Michigan, of course, congressman and former House Intel Committee chairman. We'll take a break, close out this hour. Raymond Arroyo is with us. We're going to take a break. Don't go away.